Josh go first?
Okay. Sure.
So. Just out of seniority here.
You've been slimmer too.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Wow. That's awesome.
Thanks.
I'm gonna
That's
grab.
Great. Appreciate it.
I can use this sound.
So I guess 836. It was calm. That's gotta be pretty rough for conservatives. Why is the court race been so difficult?
I don't know, although the timing you just said I think was almost exactly the time they called my recall election for me years ago. So it's funny how things change over time. You know, in that case we had a pretty level playing field. I think really since 2018 you've seen a huge financial advantage for liberal candidates, somewhat driven obviously but nationwide by opposition to President Trump. Very much drives donors, big and small alike, on the left. As conservatives going forward, particularly in these spring judicial elections, we've got to figure out a way to level the playing field.
Any ideas how you do it?
I think it's going to be a combination of things. I think part of it is just making the case why voters who turn out in the fall, as they did last year for the president, need to understand that many of the things that they care about in those elections are as important, if not more so, when it comes to judicial races.
Looking forward now, we're past the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. What are your thoughts on the fall for Republicans and the potential to flip the majority for Democrats in the Assembly and the State Senate?
Well, I think it's certainly a warning sign, not insurmountable. But historically, you know, when Barack Obama was in, we had a whole wave of Republicans elected here and across the country. You know, if a Republican in the White House, you're going to see a similar trend for Democrats. To counter that, it's really two things. Level the playing field so you get an equal echo chamber, if you will, a chance to get your message out just as much as the opposition, and focus exclusively on the issues that matter to people, which is overwhelmingly affordability. You know, people want to know more than just about anything else, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to fill up the grocery cart? How am I going to fill up my gas? How am I going to pay for my housing, whether it's rental or mortgage? Those are the things. If someone like Tom Tiffany focuses on that, and whomever he ends up running against, I think he'll do well.
What do you think about the chances of the Senate flipping through a majority of Democrats?
Again, it'll be a challenge. You've got, of the three to four key races, you've got a couple of incumbents that chose not to run. That always makes it incredibly more competitive. But again, good candidates. I just saw one of them today. I live here in Waukesha County. That's part of his district, and he was working, so I was impressed to see him even before I took my mother to the polls this morning, even though his election is until next November. So a lot of hard work, knocking on doors, raising resources, and honing in on a message that connects to voters.
Governor, the majority, if this holds, would go 5-2.
Yeah.
I've seen some conservatives online say, it'll be 7-0 someday. What is the practical reality of that? What does that mean for the Wisconsinites? Because we've seen maps, we've seen all the JFC, the JCRAR, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I hope voters going forward will say they want some balance, particularly on the court. They don't want things to just become a partisan rubber stamp for either party, one way or the other. At least in the past, when it was 4-3 either way, at least there was, you know, some opportunities where it would go. Justice might swing one way or the other. When you start having these kind of majorities, it becomes tough to imagine. I hope we've warned about this, but I hope at least some of those justices, regardless of what their political beliefs are, will ultimately say the role of a judge or a justice is to uphold the Constitution and the rule of law, not to make the law, and that the focus will be on the fall elections for both the state legislature and the governor's race.
What are you expecting with the governor's race this fall?
Well, I think it'll be incredibly competitive. I mean, the last 36 years, we've had in all but one election, the party in the White House has been the opposite of the party who wins the governorship. So it's a tough battle for Republicans. That said, I think Governor Evers not running opens up the field. Certainly in terms of the key issue I mentioned in the Supreme Court races, which is money. The only race in the last 36 years where it went against those odds was 4 years ago when Governor Evers defied the odds and won that election. I think that was because of the financial advantage. Now, with that seat being open, the last big time it was open like that was when I won in a wide open race 15 years ago. And I think Tom Tiffany can do a good job making the case that he's the right candidate, the right message at the right time, but it's not going to be easy.
Do you have a favorite Democrat?
No, I don't. You know, there are a lot of people speculate, say, oh, you want the most radical one. I think in the end, if you look at this primary, it's hard to tell who the most radical is. One keeps stepping further and further away from the others. I compare this primary and say Jim Doyle wouldn't win in the primary now because that party's going so far to the left. And, you know, some people have said Mandela Barnes because he lost before, but I don't think there's anyone in particular. I think right now, Tom Tiffany and Republicans need to just focus on getting their message out, pointing out that the entire field of Democrats are incredibly radical and out of touch with where I think mainstream swing independent voters are at, let alone where Republicans might be, and make that contrast now before we get to the September and post-primary.
A lot has changed since you've been in office. Technology, social media, all that has really exploded. What kind of impact does all of that have on elections these days? And do you see a problem with artificial intelligence?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think one of the problems beyond just elections is just in general. You guys see it in the media, we see it in society, is how many times people believe things that are fake, not just political statements. I saw the other day some image that claimed to be the pilot that was rescued when it wasn't, and there were, like, credible elected officials posting it. And so I think it's a good reminder. My kids are adults now, but I told them for years, multiple sources, everything you do, not just in the media, but in life. I told them that when they were in school. I think for voters, for all of us, when it comes to AI and social media, that's even more important. Don't, even with things, sites that you share the values with, don't just pick one and stick with it. Find multiple places to verify your information. That's going to be more important than ever before. Now, having said that, I think the idea, you know, we saw it years ago with Facebook and now with other platforms of having free and open dialogue where people aren't relying on just one source to get their information. It's a good thing. It makes a competitive world, but with more competition means we've got to be more careful consumers of information.
Thank you, Hunter.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good to see you
again. Pleasure.
I was waiting.